It used to be that conventional wisdom was found in sayings and parables, things that people used to say to each other, like, make hay while the sun shines, the early bird gets a worm, a stitch in time saves nine, all those kind of old folk sayings. But it seems to me now that conventional wisdom is found more on Facebook. I read a post the other day that said, don't stress, do your best, forget the rest. You'll find seven rules for life, five pearls of wisdom, anything to get you to click on their post. And it seems like most things on Facebook are about, work hard and be a good person and don't worry about things. So that's kind of our conventional wisdom these days. And conventional wisdom is sort of the way we cope with our times, kind of a survival mechanism, sayings that help us get through our day. Well, in Jesus' time, the conventional wisdom was that the righteous would be blessed and the wicked would suffer. So, of course, everyone tried as best they could to be righteous. Being righteous meant to conform to the customs and the traditions of the time, to follow the religious rules and the traditions of the elders, to do your temple worship, to pray. But it meant much more than that. It meant to respect your elders, to take care of your family, to be an honorable person in your village, to observe the festivals, and especially it meant paying the temple tax. Now, this was a voluntary tax, but it came to about 20%, but most people could handle that. You take 20% of the produce from your farm, and that would be your temple tax. It was an agricultural society. It was rural. Mostly people lived in small towns and villages where they could walk from their home out into their fields to do the work. And it was a stable society for many, many years, for centuries. The same customs, the same traditions held people in good stead. And so year went on to year, and things were pretty much the same. But the occupation by the Romans, the occupation of Palestine by the Romans about a century before Jesus, changed everything. The Romans began to establish cities, and the cities brought in people from other countries, Gentiles and Romans and others. And that influence began to affect the Jewish way of life. Not only that, the soldiers were there. Soldiers were occupying the country, and you had to pay attention to the Roman soldiers. On top of all that, there was a Roman tax that had to be paid. And there were tax collectors to make sure it got paid. It wasn't voluntary. And it was about another 15%. So this meant that farmers were paying around 35% of their produce to various taxes. And it was a huge burden upon them. There were a number of reactions to this change in society, and one of the reactions was that there were a number of sects that were formed, and the Pharisees was one of those sects. And what the sects tried to do was to set themselves apart from any foreign influence and make sure that they were following the purity codes of Judaism so they would be truly righteous and blessed. So they made sure that they ate just the right foods, and they made sure they didn't eat with the wrong people. No one who was considered unrighteous or outcast. And they would observe all the customs and traditions of society, especially the religious customs, and make sure everybody knew about it. And all the laws that were in the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, And they said that they would willingly take on what they called the yoke of Torah. All the burdens that were in the law, all the requirements, they willingly took them on, imposed them on themselves, and they called that the yoke of Torah. The problem, of course, was that the burden was so great that many people couldn't carry it. Farmers found that they were unable to pay the taxes, and so they would stop paying the temple tax. Well, that meant that they were no longer considered observant Jews. And by a Pharisee or by someone who was observant, you would have nothing to do with them and shun them. They'd be outcast. So you can see that it was a time of great change in Jewish society. It was a time of social crisis. The conventional wisdom didn't work anymore. Well, Jesus did not accept the conventional wisdom. Jesus came and he broke the rules. He talked about a relationship with God that didn't have to go through the temple or through the priests. He ate with sinners and outcasts. His table fellowship was one of the most remarkable things about him. He didn't consider anyone beneath him. And he taught a new wisdom. Instead of the outward behavior of the temple and the worship, he called for a new heart. He called for an inner transformation. He called for radical trust in God and a dying to the old life and a being born to the new life. He criticized the Pharisees for their rigid purity. He said, "They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear, and they lay them on the shoulders of others, and they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to bear them." So Jesus taught a new wisdom that was based not on the burden of God, but that was based on the grace and compassion of God. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." A whole new kind of wisdom is what he's teaching. Instead of the heavy burden of Torah, Jesus had a light burden of his teaching. You know, the yoke was a wooden frame that was carved out to fit a mule or an ox so that they could pull a plow or a cart. And a yoke was a symbol of work, of toil and sweat and drudgery. But Jesus says, "My yoke is light and my burden is easy." My great-grandfather was a missionary to the Sioux Indians in the late 1800s. And he established mission stations out on the reservation in South Dakota. And he would travel to the mission stations with a wagon and a team of horses. And we have pictures in the old photo albums of my grandfather, great-grandfather, but we have just as many pictures of his teams of horses. They were so important to him. They were his companions, they were his friends. And there were two in particular that he really loved, and they were named Star and Baldy. Star had a white spot on his forehead. And Star and Baldy were really matched well together. They're about the same size and the same strength. They had the same temperament. And they got along well. They pulled together, they pulled the wagon evenly together. And so my grandfather traveled many miles across the prairie with those two horses. Well, having a well-matched team is important, ones that can share the yoke together. And it's the same thing with human beings. If you've ever had the good fortune to be yoked with a partner who's a good match for you, you know that the work isn't as hard when you have a good partner. In fact, the work becomes a pleasure. And that's the way it is when you're yoked with Jesus. He invites us to take up his yoke And he is in the other side of the harness with us. He's pulling with us. And what we find is that the work which used to be drudgery and toil now has become light and has become a pleasure. It's an invitation. Take up my yoke, my light burden. So if you find that the load is heavy, and if you find that conventional wisdom is not working, then listen to the invitation of Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen.